All right. Thank you so much, BBS, for having us being heard, at least being able to be heard worldwide through the internet. I welcome all those that are joining in here with us, that are here and are ready for another hour of what's going to be said by Winfrey here tonight on this call. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have some people on the phone line. Hopefully more people
can
show up.
Hi, from Las Vegas.
Who is this from Las Vegas?
Hi, this is Molina from Las Vegas. It's been a long
time.
Hello,
welcome to the call. And another person joining.
Hi.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Raina and Sedona.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for being here, Raina. And I want to, for the record, it is Monday, July the 18th, 2016. All right, I had somebody else join in. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome over here.
Thanks.
All right.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn. Good evening to you, and welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Heist, did you ever have a chance to look at that Eric Dollard stuff on YouTube about electricity and stuff?
Yes, I did. I did. I just briefly looked at it. It was quite interesting. But I have not. I didn't dig any further into it. Than you.
So the interesting.
All right. Two more people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. More people. Good evening.
Hi,
welcome.
This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. How
Hi.
Are you?
Hi, Miss Town.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Catherine.
All right. And after Terry, more people join in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be interesting if somebody knows about electricity. Reviewed that, see what, how it's different from the your take.
Yes, yes. You know what is so amazing is when you hear this guy talking, I mean, you know, he is like a, you know, so far out, you know, well connected with higher sources apparently, and
yeah,
quite amazing.
Guy on Coast to Coast last night supposedly invented a way to get rid of pollution and maybe also radiation.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't having much luck dealing with the establishment, though.
Mm. Interesting. In the meantime, we had another caller join in. Welcome to the name and location.
Hi, this is Deb in Lapine, Oregon.
Deb, good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. And more people joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Hey, good. How's it going, Ice?
Good, good, good. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Please keep your state over there.
Hey, Terry, did you happen to listen to Coast to Coast at all last night?
You might be muted. More people join in.
Prudence.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi there, it's Prudence.
Hi, Prudence. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Hi, Prudence.
Hi.
All right.
Feeling better.
So we are past the clock of 6 and here on the west coast of the USA, and I welcome all those who are listening to this over the internet through BBS Radio. Only question is, where is the free man?
He should be on in just a minute.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah.
Terry,
and I have not even looked.
Did you listen to Coast to Coast at all last night?
I listened to some of it, but what are you thinking of? Because
the
I fell asleep
guy
during
was talking about. Yeah, the first guy I was talking about, he had a way to get rid of, eliminate pollution using plasma or something, and he said he might have had a way to get rid of radioactivity or radioactivate materials.
Yeah, I missed all that.
Okay.
That's a big one, I'd say.
Yeah. said the he tried to talk to the government, that it wouldn't have anything to do with them because they're already committed to burying it or whatever they're doing.
Was that Henderson or somebody?
No, that was the first guest. I can check his name.
So in the meantime, I want to share that Wynn is going to talk tonight about the fluctuation quantum field, which is in, something we touched base on yesterday. Quite interesting. I appreciate
Hello.
You, Jerry, for being there for us with that information. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name or location.
It's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome you.
Wynn who? We all win.
Wynn whatchamacallit. That was my father's word. Whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit.
good parenting.
I don't know about that, but must have done something right to have me come out so wrong. That's a good name for a song. We must have done something right to have it come out so wrong. Now, what would that be about? If you're writing a love song. Hmm?
I thought it was going to be an autobiography.
Hmm. Well,
Wynn, what are you eating?
Drinking coffee.
Okay.
I just got back from Starbucks, and Jeff Levin, start the recording. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 18th, 2016. Everybody everywhere, everybody nowhere, everybody in the middle of nothing, in the middle of everything, all at the same time. And on yesterday's call, on our Sunday planetary healing call, I got into a talk about quantum particles. And I read something from Ramsa, a book that I read some time ago, called Fluctuations in the Quantum Fields.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Thank you, guys. Quantum. And in part of the book, there was a explanation of how there's these particles, subatomic particles, in physics, and they don't seem to follow normal 3D rules, and science is still trying to figure it out. And then there was a concept called the wave-particle duality, which meant that they behave, both particles and waves, at different times. And there was no explanation. In other words, if you were looking at the 3D world, and you were looking at somebody's body, and then it turned into a wave, it looked kind of weird. Something you could put your hand through it. And it wasn't there. It was a wave. So one of the points that the Ramsa book was making, that these subatomic particles are influenced by intention. And I asked a very interesting question that I didn't know the answer for, and I said, are we made up of those subatomic particles? Of course, yes, we are. Our bodies are atoms, so if there's atoms, there's subatomic particles that generate the atom, I guess you would say. These are like the precursor to the atom. You know, for many years in physics, the atom was considered the very basic building block. Well, now there's a subatomic particle, and the subatomic particle is somehow connected to energy. And, you know, we've talked to the Elohim about all kinds of stuff, and they described how that a number of them, a group, and I don't know how many, would work together to create the generation of frequencies. Now, frequencies would be waves, and where the waves would intersect, there would be a point in space-time. And apparently, these subatomic particles are created in the same way, and probably they created them before the atom, which became physicalness, okay? And we had a very brief conversation with them yesterday, and I thought it was a great topic to understand more about it. And I think that the most important aspect of this is understanding the relationship of our intentions to these subatomic particles. Because we know that our intentions recreate things. They attract things to us. They create synchronicities. They create miracles. They create healings. We know, or we believe, it seems to be true, I'm sure it's true, that the Elohim and the Ra group can participate in this, and they can join us in our intentions to increase our impact. And part of the impact, maybe the most important aspect of it, is the way we can change the subatomic particles so they can group together in ways that there's a manifestation that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And so maybe this will help us create our ability to visualize so we can do that better, because we all visualize in vision, and vision is the first step in going from where you are to where you'd like to be. And everybody is in that process. Even when you get to where you want to be, now you're where you want to be, there's another place to be. And that is evolution. It never stops. And learning how to ride this energy to become your greatest potential, to become effective in this realm, to become effective at changing those patterns in yourself that are obstacles. And it's my hope that learning about the nature of these particles can help us visualize better the process by which we can do that better, more effectively. Okay? So before I start the session, let me, for those people that listened yesterday, if you didn't listen yesterday, then your question will probably be too divergent. And so you can ask it on Wednesday or something. But for those people that listened yesterday, since we're going to do a channeling session, let me just very quickly see if anyone has a burning question. Sometimes on our Wednesday calls, we've gotten questions, say, from Rich or Tom Herbst or let's see, I forget your first name, Herman, Don Herman, about these kind of things. And, of course, this is the kind of stuff that if it was ever added to science, it would be the merger of spirituality and science. But I don't expect that's going to happen because of this call. But you can add it to your understanding of how the universe works and how you can play a more active role in the recreation of your own life and your own ability to affect positive outcomes on our planet. Okay, so I'm going to unmute everybody. If you got noise in the background, try to cut it down. I will mute you, but it's irritating. So if you can, if you're hearing me, then be quiet. And I'll just let everyone open up and see if there's any questions anyone wants to add to this. I'm not promising I'll ask them, but I'll try to, especially if it fits into the flow. I'll have them in front of me, and...
All callers are unmuted.
We are unmuted.
I got a question. I heard or read some things about quantum physicists were saying that, I think it was electrons, they pass between from the space-time universe into the time-space universe, and they said that's where they get their energy to keep moving somehow, and... If you're, I don't know if you're familiar with that. Maybe you could find out more about that, if that works.
In other words, electrons can occupy both space, just for anyone who doesn't understand, space-time is the realm we are in. It's the place where we have space and we have time, and it's very sluggish here. And time-space is... considered the higher realms. It's where you go when you die, some of us. It's where the Elohim and Ra exist. And
I've also kind of explained as that they in that universe or realm, you move through time pretty much the way we move through space. So you could just sort of go somewhere else and you're in a different time or something sort of like
right,
that.
Right, right. Now, I have always asked that question. I mean, I've read about how they try to make, the scientists try to make warps in space-time to access time-space. Supposedly, that's one of the things they're trying to do in CERN in Switzerland. But I'm not sure that's a positive thing to do. And so a lot of people say it's really dangerous because... if you created a portal into time-space, you could, and maybe they're doing it, you could bring a lot of demonic entities from higher realms. Because I say higher doesn't mean it's better, because there's a lot of negative entities in higher realms until you get way up there. And but I'll ask that question, okay?
Probably depends on your intention, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes people have good intentions, and they start to access higher realms, but they have past track where they have been involved in black magic and stuff like that. And even though their intentions are good, they haven't cleared their past track energy, and they could be attracting things that they might be sorry that they're attracting. I'm so glad we have Fred around because he helps to clear those things with people. But thank you, Don. Anyone else have something? Who's that?
You have a question.
I do have a question.
Okay. Who is the man? Who is the man?
Dharmananda.
That's what I thought. Okay. Dharmananda.
Yeah.
What's your question?
I just was reading something about what William Henry says about the divine spark within could manifest in the body as a portal to higher consciousness. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. I missed the first part of your question. Say it.
Well, William Henry said that the divine spark within your body, manifesting in your body, can be as a portal to higher consciousness. So, because the divine spark within manifests in the body as a portal to higher consciousness.
Okay, I'm sure that's true. Okay, yeah. But we'll ask it. Okay, I mean, like,
okay.
You know, if your body is made up of all these subatomic particles, it's like the question is, how do you access that? Okay, and when I was younger, okay, I loved the concept of being spaced out. Okay, I probably was spaced out. Okay, and I now think that's not the best way to vision it, because it's a matter of being grounded and coming from your center and accessing these other things simultaneously without losing your ground. Otherwise, you can't manifest it, okay? And But I certainly went through my periods of aiming at being spaced out and doing drugs and everything. Not a lot, but enough to have the experience of it. And I now have reevaluated that whole way of looking at things. Now, who was the other person that had a question?
I have a question.
Now, who is that? What's your name?
Prudence? Yes.
Okay. Go.
Okay, my question is, if you set an intention to manifest something, just pretend love in your life, you send the thought out, and it comes back as a boomerang and becomes manifested. Here's my question. Does it help to draw a picture of it, such as like a heart on a piece of paper, in a sense giving it form and sort of structure to it? Does that drawing a picture make the intention manifest quicker? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or writing it out, maybe?
Yeah. Or writing it out for different people. You know what? Everyone has their when you ask a question, one thing I have learned in asking questions, different things work for different people. I think that writing things down, it helps ground things, whether it's a picture or writing it. Putting it in the Sunday hearing list helps to ground it. You don't theoretically need that, but anything, we want to learn all the things that help. So thank you. Well, that's a good one. Anyone else have a question?
I have a question.
And who is that?
Hi, this is Molina from Las Vegas.
Okay, Molina, go ahead.
Hi. It's about the space-time and time-space dimensions. I want to have a better understanding of how they are superimposed upon each other. I feel like they're a lot more connected and right next to each other than we talk about or we think. And the other caller is saying that we are the portal, and it's a matter of perception upon that reality or upon that dimension at that moment is what takes you there. And I feel like is that along the same lines? I feel that that's a pretty good description. I feel like I need a larger explanation, but I feel like I'm on the right path here.
Mm-hmm. Sounds to me like it's, you know, my take on it. Keep in mind that when you get into the highest level of time, space, everything is all the same. Time comes together and merges, and space comes together and merges. So sometimes, for me, this visualization helps. I don't think other dimensions are somewhere else. I think they're all around me. They're all around me. Mm-hmm. And that I'm constantly interfacing with those dimensions, but I'm not doing it at a conscious level. And usually, when I'm in a conscious space, the feeling for me is I'm expanded, I'm bigger than my body, which many people have on our Sunday call, have that experience. And that when I'm in that space, I know that I am accessing higher dimensions. And sometimes, you know, I've worked on the visualization for so long, it's almost like even when I'm I'm not consciously in that space. I'm still there, and I'm creating. I'm creating in those other levels, which then manifests as a manifestation. So, this is the kind of information, you know, that the negatives never wanted to let out to the people, because the feeling was that people would misuse it, and probably because they misuse it, right? But, you know, these kind of principles work for the negative and the positive, for service to self and service to others. So one more question, if someone has it. Okay, good. I don't want any more questions.
Thank you.
Okay.
Would you mind if I made a comment on the last caller's question?
Go ahead.
Okay. I found that if I'm trying to draw love into my life, I'll create the space in my physical space, meaning I'll put another pillow on my bed. I'll create that space for that person to occupy. And that has always worked.
Thank you. My experience is that I can visualize things. Like, if I visualize, I start to do this all automatically. I don't have to consciously do it. And some of you are doing it, you don't even realize you're doing it. But you start to visualize loving energy moving all around you. And just, you keep the intention going. You don't even have to think about it. It becomes like an automatic intention. And then it starts to get stronger, you know? It's like, okay, I'm going to heal my body now. Terry does this. I'm amazed, you know? She has something going on in her body, and she starts working on it. And then it shifts. And sometimes I can work on Terry this way, and she can work on me, and I work. You know, sometimes we hear people on the calls, and we think of them, and we hold this space. So it's kind of like you can do the same thing. You can think of people on the calls and hold the space. People don't have to know you're doing it, although in some cases it helps if they know. You know, there's people out there, for example, that charge to do quantum, they call it quantum healing sometimes, where they make people spend so much money, and at 8 p.m. they're going to work on this whole group. Fred came up with the idea of doing it on Sundays for the people who are going to healing list in particular. So all of us have these abilities. These are latent abilities. And it's hard for us to believe that this is true, except you are an aspect of the one infinite creator. So in your little world, you have those tools if you learn how to access them. Okay, let's go into our session. This is one of those things that could be a five-hour session. And I want
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Get the most important points made. So Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Are you unmuted? Hello, Terry. Paging Terry, Earth to Terry. Okay, I see she's unmuted on the board. Is your phone unmuted?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm unmuted now. Okay.
Thank you very much. And thanks for let's send Terry a blast of love. Because when she does these things, they're really, really sometimes, you know, she has to recover for a while, and it's like, let's just send her love and gratitude, because it's so wonderful that she has dedicated herself to this work and has been so available to us selflessly. And it's part of her angel job. So let's just take a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we're doing it. She feels it.
Yeah.
And this is exactly, we're working with the field. We're working with the particles. And all of your energies are just surrounding Carrie and helping her to be able to center and focus to get this through. Okay, so Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst everybody present while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protective space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Fra'an. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We see that you have questions in the area of the quantum field. As it does jibe into what a person does with their life, as if they know how to manipulate the quantum field and create vortexes, which create space, which create then time, they're able to bring the object, the subject of that vortex, of that quantum field that they have placed there, into their life. For instance, if somebody starts out and they would like to do a job, and they're looking for a job for the first time, it's not in their field. And by this, we mean their quantum field. They may have studied it and know about the field that they want to go into, which is a start. But when they hit the quantum field, which creates the space for them to pull in the job, the time during the day, the acceptance of this with the friends. The friends can lend it space and time by giving acceptance to the fact that the person's going to be gone 4 hours a day, is going to work in a certain area, and then the people around him give him leeway and time in their own thoughts. They set aside that block of time that they know that he's going to be going to work in that area, and he sets aside that block of time for him to go and work in the area where at the beginning there was no space, no time for that job. Does this make sense?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I do, and I think this is, I didn't put it in these terms, but if I want something to happen in the world, like if I want to find a business relationship, or if I want to find anything out in the world, especially if it's going to be a big decision, I start looking for who is out in the world that would align with me. And then I start studying everything about them, even to the point of looking at their home on Google Maps, you know, reading everything on the internet about them. And I can feel, as I do that, my energy starts to become one on the higher levels with their energy. And then if I approach them, I've already created a connection before we ever have anything in the physical go on, as opposed to just knocking on a door or just meeting on, like, I want to get my book published, or I want this, or I want that. And say, and it's like asking them, I come from a very higher source of strength in myself when I approach them, because I can already feel the connection. And if I can't feel the connection, then I'll dismiss it and say, next. Are we talking about a similar process here?
Yes. You are making a basket where the energies can commingle, and the co-creation can take place in shared space and time. You are exploring the other person's space and taking a look at how they orient their time. And then you are fitting in. You are seeing how your shared space and time would fit into their life. And if it doesn't seem to drive or make a space between you, or if you get in touch with the person and they don't acknowledge that space or time, even with persistence, then we take a look further. There are coning can help, where you send a vortex with information in it. The vortex created by coning can help you to create space, and where space wasn't before. And it's got a, one of the ways of doing it is to have a point on one end that it can penetrate the space and time, and then bring your space and time into focus in an area.
Mm-hmm. And anybody can do this. Like, for example, if you're looking for a job, you will go to the company, and then you look at the pictures of their executives. You read their descriptions. You say, do I connect with those people? You know, instead of thinking like you're a beggar and saying, please give me a job, I need money, think that if you can establish a connection with the people, if you can feel the connection and look at their building, you know, if it's a company. Or you can do this with anything, anything that you want to bring in from the world. Before you go out like a beggar and say, I need this, and even if it's not a beggar, even if it's like looking for a plumber, it's like you're looking for someone to do a job. I do the same thing. I go to their website. I look at their picture. I read everything. I say, do I feel energy from this? Do I trust this person? And then I draw a conclusion, and I give myself lots of choices, and I say, who do I have the best affinity with? If you're looking for a doctor, if you're looking for an alternative doctor, sometimes I'll call them up, and anybody, and I'll listen to feel the energy of the person that's answering the phone. They're sharing the energy of this thing, and I will say, if I like that person, if they feel really loving, if they feel caring, then it's a sign to go further. But if they don't have that, then I'll probably move on to the next. And, you know, this is not that hard to do. When you want things in the world, this is the way to start applying your spiritual wisdom in a worldly way.
Yeah, so, you can tell if the person is open to sharing space. If you have a bad feeling and you feel that your spaces just don't jive together, then you most likely will not proceed from that point because you determine that they're making a different space and time with different modes and different goals than you would ever want to make. And so you back off and don't share the space with them.
Yeah, and if you're needy, like, I need money, I need a job, people just say, I need a job, I need a job. It's like they tend to not look at these things. And if you get a job with in a circumstance where you're not sharing space, there's every possibility that where you're working is going to feel like a jail. And, like, you just can't wait for it to end. And if people are sharing space, then you look forward to going to work. You look forward, there's this loving energy. So you have to create that. And you'll find a job easier with the right people if you do that. Instead of just thinking, well, I'm a bookkeeper. Who needs a bookkeeper? I'm a this. Who needs this? Qualify people as well as having them qualify you. Qualify them first. And you know what? If you do it, well, they will, if they're the right people, they will respond to you. They will say, be glad. You know, people like sharing space. It makes the day go faster, even when they don't understand the principles of this. So if you can work on creating space, even in a relationship with somebody, can you create the space before you go into, do they like me? You know, will they accept me? You know, because when you just jump into things to see what happens, as most of you know, it usually does not lead to a great outcome. So no matter what you think about yourself, no matter how much unworthiness you feel, this is an act that starts creating worthiness because you create space and connection with people. And when you feel the real connection, it's motivational, it makes you feel good about yourself. And why would you ever want to go into something where you don't have a real connection? It's better to wait the difficulties out than to create committed relationships where you're contracted. You know, let's go on and ask some questions about these quantum particles. I would assume that the whole subatomic quantum particle aspect of everything was a creation of the Elohim. Is that true?
It is one of the factors of the way the universe is built, which is made by in accordance with certain ways that energies work together. We did not
invent it.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a mystery to it. This is something that's a mystery that can't be solved. In other words, it's not a creation of the Elohim, and it's not a creation of the one infinite creator. It is a basic building block inherent in the universe that we can't explain.
It may be a creation of the one intimate creator. He may have set it up in that manner.
Mm-hmm. So you discovered these particles, and when you discovered them, how did they? This was, there were no atoms at that point, or were there? Were atoms a function that was existing prior to the universe, or were the
an atom is an illusion of solidarity, which comes about with the coincidence of energies acting together in certain ways, and it isn't a solid, really. It is an energy that blinks on and off so fast that it appears solid, much like mm-hmm. a movie appears to have images moving on the screen.
And what's the inner relationship of subatomic particles and atoms?
Give us a moment. You have eddies and vectors spinning off, and these are subatomic particles, and they are part of the creation of the atom. And my phone is ringing. This is Terry.
Well, let it ring and die off.
Okay. Do you have more questions
yeah.
on that?
Yeah. Now, all of these subatomic particles are very responsive, I believe, to intention. And one of the things I asked yesterday, were we made up of subatomic particles, or our bodies are. But and the Elohim is not made up of subatomic particles. There is another force of intention, which is something that is an extension from the one infinite creator, which allows us then to participate in creation, not to just be the effect of it. And then when we participate with our intentions, we become part of rearranging these subatomic particles, which is how everything evolves through every
they react.
The, yeah.
The subatomic particles react in co-creation with our intentions, our energies, and the human body is a magnificent mechanism or group of mechanisms that all work together and are the result of not just the one, the higher self, but is a result of the molecules, the vortexes within the organs, and are programmed to work together in a magnificent structure that a person is able to use, take advantage of, and to used for his own creation.
Mm-hmm. So what's happening is these subatomic particles might be a bit like clay and that our intentions are helping to form the clay into something that is consistent, persistent, holds the space over time.
Look at it that way, however. You could also look at it as being built of illusions that are all working together and give the illusion of clay, but are not clay, but are flowing and able to respond and instantaneously to the combination of intentions in the body.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there's intentions that are creating this illusion, if the intentions stop, does the illusion dissipate?
It depends upon... There are so many molecules that have their own purpose, that if the higher self stopped intending, the body would carry on its own.
Mm-hmm. So there's a memory effect where when the intentions start at some point, the particles have memory and tend to retain the form as a result of the memory, even when there's no attention being generated.
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask a couple of the questions that people submitted here. And Putin said, if one has an intention to manifest love, does drawing a picture help?
That does help, definitely.
Yeah.
It helps as it packs it down in the senses, the
mm-hmm.
sight, the sound of the paper across, the moving across the table, the sound of the pencil on the paper, the taste. Sometimes people would, for instance, write down something that they wanted to manifest, and they would then bring it into such a degree that they would bring in the taste of the smell of the leather. It helps to put it there with all the senses
mm-hmm.
involved.
And like for somebody that wants a healing, does it help to write down, I am healed? Some people say you should visualize, I am healed, even when you haven't been. Or is it best to visualize, I am healing? Which is a better image?
The image, whichever way one does it, needs to dismiss the sickness. In other words, they might say, I am healed, which dismisses the sickness. I am healing, which means, well, you still got some of it there. So I am healed is more if you can also combine it with time period, then picture the time period 6 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, when you will be totally healed, and bring
mm-hmm.
in that time period
mm-hmm.
So that you can dismiss it. The wrong thing, well, not the wrong thing, but the really hard thing to get over is to say, I have cancer. I am healing. Well, now you've built a wall. You've said, you've affirmed that you have this. And now that you've made a double barrier, because now you have to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work uphill to get over it, and you
mm-hmm.
stated it. But if you just dissolve that, whatever the name of the sickness is, just dissolve it, and I'm healed. And then you're at the end of where you're going.
How about, like, I have a job? Is that the same principle work before you have one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And even put up on the refrigerator. Somebody working at the kind of a job that you pictured yourself working at. Somebody sitting
yeah.
at a desk writing. Somebody riding a bicycle delivering newspapers. Somebody delivering something with a delivery truck. Somebody stacking boxes in a warehouse. Just, you know, put it up there. And so when you look at it,
mm-hmm.
you get the feel of it.
You know, Dawn Ananda, Melina, and Don Herman asked somewhat similar questions. Let me ask Melina's question because it's put in the most simplest way to understand. And space-time, time-space, how are they superimposed?
When you set up particles, objects, we would say anchor points, the basic building blocks, say, of a building, that separates out the space outlining the building. And it's in a time zone. This would be space, and then time is a result. Time, it sits there for 40 years. It anchors down the time. Now, time, space, could be fast. It could be very quick, where you have time, and in your mind or in the higher realms, you decide that you're going to have a business meeting, say, and the business meeting is going to last 3 hours, but you think, I just can't picture this meeting lasting 3 hours. So with you're going to be in a room, and it's going to have certain dimensions, and so you're going to set up the space and pour the coffee and set up the whole thing for the business meeting. However, you can have time be moving, flowing. It can be fast. You can picture time of 3 hours fitting into 1 hour. And so time then becomes the controlling factor over the space. You don't have to stay there for 3 hours, because at the end of 1 hour, you go, my gosh, you know, 3 hours have gone by, but it's got to be only 1 hour. It went so fast.